Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
We just came through one of the most special seasons of the year. So many people love these weeks of holidays, despite added stresses and responsibilities. Truly, it's a treasured time each year. Fall celebrations, then Thanksgiving, followed by Christmas, and now New Year's Day has come. A favorite theme during Christmas from the carol, "God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen," is the phrase, "comfort and joy." If you're like me and millions of others, you'd welcome some comfort and joy in your life and around the world. Comfort and joy has been on my radar all year. The Lord led my heart to use it as a theme this year. I've even memorized a few verses that focus on these ideas, and I'd like to share them with you. The first verse is this: "I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow." From Jeremiah 31, verse 13. This verse focuses on both comfort and joy. Interestingly, with increased brokenness in our world, this verse provides a word of hope. It has also helped me when there's been life disappointment. What a fabulous promise to redirect focus into a healthy perspective. Well, now for the second verse. "You will increase my honor. You will comfort me once more." And that verse is from Psalm 72, verse 21. This short verse focuses specifically on comfort. While it also mentions increasing honor, best represented by your pursuit of Christ-like character, God focuses on comfort in all of life, especially losses. Then the third verse that I focused on this past year is, "Give joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you." From Psalm 86, verse 4. And this little jewel focuses specifically on joy. Incidentally, it directs your heart to continually trust God and practice courage. God wants to give you joy, even in difficult times. If you look up 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll notice it contains some excellent directives that drill down to the root under comfort and joy. So here's a brief summary of that chapter. Number 1, not all things are helpful, though they may be lawful. Number 2, not all things build up, though they also may be lawful. And number 3, do not seek your own good, but rather what is good for others. And we'll explain this point in more detail. These are practical and dependable directives to keep personal choices aligned with God's Word. And by God's Word, I intend to say both His written Word, the Scriptures, and the living Word, who is Jesus Christ. So, both the written word and the living word instruct us to follow the above three directives that I just went through if we want to live in comfort and joy. But now, let's dig into each one of the three directives that were mentioned. The first is, not all things are helpful. So often, folks get caught up with their rights and their own personal agenda. But this first directive clearly says, though they may be lawful, in other words, allowed, not all things are helpful. This means giving up rights and agenda while laser focusing on Jesus and then on others. Contemplating not all things are helpful strongly suggests engaging only what is helpful. Consequently, we can conclude our energy should focus on helpful things while simultaneously stepping away from unhelpful things. There are many unhelpful things like preferences, frustrations, anger, too much of any one thing, and so forth. The recommendation is, it must be helpful in your relationship with God and with others. And this basic motive inspires a healthier life. Choosing to focus on things that are helpful is a direct connect to comfort and joy. Okay, so that was the first directive. Not all things are helpful. Let's go on to the second directive. Not all things build up. Similarly, Jesus says to focus on things that build up. And incidentally, that includes your focus on your own life, on others' lives, your community, and even the world. Wherever you have influence, use it to build up. Interestingly, this often means setting aside things currently popular and trending that don't particularly build people up, community, positive outlook, and hope. And incidentally, these things aren't necessarily wrong. They may be lawful, in other words, allowed. But if they don't build up, Scripture tells us to avoid these things, to set them aside. The recommendation is, it must build up in your relationship with God and with others. And this basic motive inspires a healthier life. Choosing to focus on things that build up and not tear down is a direct connect to comfort and joy. All right, now we're going to look at the third directive. Don't seek good for you, but rather good for others. One big deception people fall into, it's all about making your life more comfortable and happy. But that's not what Scripture says. And Scripture is the source that does promise comfort and joy. God's Word simply states we are created by Him and for Him, and we are made to glorify Him by living in His original design. This is where you find your life purpose. You find things that are helpful, and you find things that build up. Furthermore, you seek good for others over yourself. All of this nurtures comfort and joy. Additionally, you become aware that Jesus needs to be your first, most, best, and only greatest passion. This simple strategy of doing those three things, that not all things are helpful, not all things build up, and to seek good for others above yourself, means that you will be surrendered, that you'll be aligned with God's purposes, that you'll be striving for Christ-like character, that you'll be resolved to care for His interests, to glorify God and not your own interests, and that you will strive to be thankful in everything. The recommendation is, seek good for others over good for self, and this basic motive inspires a healthier life. Choosing to focus on things that seek what's best for others is a direct connect to comfort and joy. Well, what about comfort and joy in topsy-turvy times? Scripture teaches the last days will get really topsy-turvy, upside down, out of whack, just plain weird. Problems will abound around the globe. Wars, rumors of wars, hunger, fear, and people will pursue everything except God. Ultimately, times will be unpredictable, tentative, continually shifting. Do these topsy-turvy times sound familiar? So the question is, how can you live with comfort and joy in these topsy-turvy times? The Bible says, end times will mount like childbirth pains, and pains across the earth are definitely mounting, closer and closer together. So this means we're getting much nearer to Christ's return. Well, in topsy-turvy times, God should be your greatest desire. Otherwise, your life will have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. And that is a phrase directly out of 2 Timothy 3:5, the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And you will be off balance, topsy-turvy. Interestingly, to get back into balance, come close to Jesus simply by faith. This sounds goofy to people who've never done it, but it's the way to get back into comfort and joy. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God by faith, and He will come near to you." Regain balance and effectiveness. Increase comfort and joy, even in topsy-turvy times. Have you discovered the secret? A direct connect to comfort and joy is to keep your balance in topsy-turvy times. You may feel like I do sometimes. I've been given a small station of service in life. Yet I want God to bless my life and influence for His purposes. So I ask Him to make me like Jesus, definitely an ongoing process. And I ask Him to make me useful in every good work. Incidentally, what is a good work? I have found these ideas helpful in thinking about a good work. Pursuing righteousness, faith, hope, love, joy, and peace. Praying for discernment to sidestep silly quarrels. Pursuing kindness, patience, and gentleness. Alertness to needs and creative, practical ways to address them. Encouraging and enabling others. And that takes in a whole huge scope of good works. I suppose those are good works. Perhaps you have more that you could add to that list. Pursue things that matter, even if you, like me, have a small station of service in life. How can a person live with comfort and joy in topsy-turvy times? One very practical way is to manage your words carefully. There are many more ways, but let's focus on words as an example. Okay, what not to say? Scripture says God knows words you will speak before they even get to your tongue. So, first, don't speak unhealthy words. Not all things are helpful. Next, refrain from a quarrel if possible. Not all things build up. And then finally, avoid irrelevant babble, which increases ungodliness rather than what is good. So those are the things we should not say. But what should we say? Well, give your best to God as a co-worker. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about that. My Bible footnote says, approved after being tested. So let your words be a proof of your salvation. In other words, pass the test. Here's another idea. Speak only what pleases God. John 8:28b shows even Jesus did this. Here's what He said. I speak only what the Father has taught me. And then here's another thing to think about when you want to know, well, what should I say? If you proclaim Jesus is your Lord, depart from wickedness, sin, preference, and agenda. And this includes words. So we've looked a little bit at what not to say and what to say. And now we're going to go to the application and thoughts for the content for today. 1, do you need comfort and joy? 2, have you examined your motives? What's under your motives? 3, do you focus on what is helpful, what builds up, and what brings good? 4, have you struggled in topsy-turvy times? And 5, do you make your words proof of your salvation? I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles, plus tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app, or you can use the online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.